Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us live on the 24th of November. Hope that you're going to have a beautiful, wonderful, glorious, magnanimous Thanksgiving. It's actually the only holiday in the United States that we observe. We certainly don't observe Easter or Christmas or Halloween or all of those other pagans. Along with the festivals, the feast days that are regulated in the Bible, we do appreciate the land of plenty. We're going to talk about Israel today. That's going to be the title of our series that we're going to begin, Israel Today. The question that needs to be asked, where is Israel today? Most people would agree as to the location of Reuben, Gad, or Simeon, or Dan. The question of Israel's two most important tribes, Joseph and Judah, needs to be explored in detail. In other words, we need to really look into the issue. There is two houses, you know, that comprise the house of Israel, and that is Ephraim and Judah. Ephraim comprises the 10 tribes, and Judah comprises the two. That would be Benjamin and Judah would comprise three. We'd have to include Levite, the tribe of Levite, because in the New Testament they are included as a tribe. No longer are they exempt from tribal recipients of the blessings. So Levi could be in there as the 13th tribe. 10 to the north and 3 to the south. The historical position, if we want to look at England and the United States, and that's what we'll focus on here tonight, is that the Queen of England is ruling over the House of David, and that consequently England is Judah. Others will undoubtedly state that Germany is also Judah, and still others will state that Ireland and Scotland are Judah also. We also need to include Canada, the United States, New Zealand, Australia, as a part of the discussion. So we're gonna actually try to locate where the tribes are in the earth. Now remember, in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find a covenant given to Abraham by our father Yahweh that he would make Abraham's offspring. This is the house of Jacob. The covenant, which actually started with Isaac, and Isaac received everything that Abraham had. So you see, the covenant goes exclusively to Isaac and Isaac's offspring, which would be Jacob, the birthright son. Now, the first possible conclusion is that it must be plausible and fit into several Bible verses and be consistent with knowledge when we recognize the amount of information that's available to us today in finding out where certain particular tribes. So hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to locate them now. When the prophetic prophecies were coming down, very few people understood them. But now we've got evidence that we can go back and and open the investigation, and we can actually find out where most of the tribes are located. The first possible conclusion that England, Germany, Scotland, and Ireland are all Judah is manifestly absurd. It cannot be. It just don't fit the puzzle. If that is true, then Ephraim and Manasseh, which were promised the largest share of the blessings, the greater and the lesser, both being great, it says that Manasseh will be great and Ephraim will be greater. So, if they have no part, then if you consider the implication, then where are they at in here? Where is the greatest nation prophesied to be Ephraim? Where is Ephraim at today if it's not where we have told you it is? Well, let's look at considering the immigration of peoples from England to Canada, the United States, New Zealand, and Australia from England. If we position ourselves to believe that England was ever Judah, we would have a tall wall to climb in explaining how Joseph was a fruitful bough, meaning that England was most probably Joseph, meaning both Ephraim and Manasseh. Most now will agree that Germany is Judah. And I agree with that. A mighty strong nation, one that is noted for its very powerful people, blonde, Aryan, blue-eyed, as a measuring stick. And the stick of Judah is one that has a destiny in the future to fulfill. I don't believe that the true destiny of the House of Germany has yet been fulfilled. And I believe that it played into the hands of the enemy. That the enemy, knowing the power of the people of Germany and the industrial output of the blessed people of the rest of the world, combined to defeat Germany in World War II, World War I and World War II. But we'll get into some of that and explain to you how that, if we were to explain the current state of the House of Israel, some claim that Queen Elizabeth is not only the current monarch to sit on the throne of Westminster, but that she is also the logical descendant to sit on the throne of the House of David. If the throne of David is considered to be the forerunner of the throne of Judah, then that conclusion is false, because it would mean that Judah is not only England, but is also the United States, Australia, and Canada. And so, as I've said, where is Ephraim and where is Manasseh? The greatest revelation comes with the supposition that if the throne of Westminster Abbey is a continuation of the throne of David, then this further indicates that our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, came through Ephraim and not through Judah, as is presently taught and supposed, because no one would be willing to claim foolishly that England is Judah. Furthermore, all we have to do is agree that David descended from Ephraim by looking at 1 Samuel 17:12, where it says that David's descendants, including his father, was from the tribe of Ephraim. And if you look at that, Strong's number 673, which means Ephraimite. So the house of Ephraim is the United States in its blessing to become the greatest nation in the world. It would only fit the pattern of the United States. It could not be Great Britain that Ephraim was Great Britain, because Great Britain, Manasseh, is declining. And as we have already taught you in the Land of the Eagle, in our series, four-part series of the Land of the Eagle, we believe that Ephraim, United States, Manasseh, Great Britain, is the opposite of, British Israelite teaching that Britain was Ephraim, the birthright son, because they have a king. Well, I believe that the Bible student that has read, studied, and prayed about the issue will come to a different conclusion when all the facts come in. When you reconsider that we're going to examine, let's examine this position in light of Scripture and modern-day truth that is known. Although virtually no one has noticed it, Yahweh has left the identity of modern Israel in the most obvious place one could imagine, in the very name of our great nation. Our nation is the only nation in the world directly named Company of Nations. Now, how about that? Talking about the United States. Not only that, Manasseh was to become a great nation, and only one modern nation is known as being great in its very name, and that is Great Britain. The official name of Great Britain is, of course, the United Kingdom, a single great nation. The United Kingdom and the United States, a nation and a company of nations, to whom, if we believe that the United States is Manasseh, this requires some adjustment in our facts. And we cannot borrow facts from the truth to make a lie, just because it fits our traditional understanding. We've got to adjust our thinking to the facts. If the reader will withhold judgment until all the evidence can be considered, it will be seen that the United States is Ephraim, and this understanding makes many times more sense than believing our nation to be Manasseh. The important thing to grasp is that the United States fits both the type and the biblical interpretation of a company of nations. Now listen to this. The ending of the seven times, which was imposed upon the house of Israel. Not the house of Judah now, but the house of Israel. Is a 360-day period of 2,520 years. That's seven times 360, which equals 2520. That is the years of punishment, and it marks the emergence of Ephraim alone as a separate nation in its own right, apart from any other Israelite nation. It was not until the seven times were finished that Yahweh allowed Ephraim to rise to national greatness. It was our nation which had to wait 2,520 years to receive the actual blessings of becoming the greatest nation upon the earth. And it is also our nation which has received those blessings abundantly, filled to the brim and running over. The house of Israel was taken to Assyria in 722 B.C., from where they never returned home to Israel. Seven times 360 equals 2,520 years. If you figure from 718 B.C., which is the year they actually started the dispersal, to 1803 A.D., the year the Louisiana Purchase extended the United States to become a great company of nations, it allowed it to achieve its greatness. Because in 1803, as I've already told you, in the Land of the Eagle, Thomas Jefferson and Napoleon negotiated the United States Purchase of Louisiana from France. With two strokes of a pen, a fledgling nation barely a generation old doubled in size overnight and became one of the largest and most fruitful nations in the world. The Louisiana Purchase, approved by treaty in April of 1803, is called the most significant real estate transaction in the history of our civilization. Now, how about that? Yeah, we've had some great leaders in the past that have, by divine appointed destiny, have become great, not because they were great, because the prophecy, and they were appointed to fulfill the role of that prophecy and become great in their activities or their doings. It seems like they had foresight, and perhaps they did. more so than we've got today. But hindsight is 20/20. Looking back on it, you can see the mighty hand of Yahweh in this treaty, which was formalized in 1803. It's called the most significant real estate transaction in the history of civilization, with over 800,000 square miles of land bought at a cost of about average of a penny or two an acre. I mean, it's unreal how we, well, I don't even know how France got all this land and had the, I think what they did, they had an offshore island. And by being close by as a powerful nation, they laid claim to it, and we had to purchase it. Well, for whatever reason, we got it at a bargain. You can believe that. It would eventually be cut into all or part of 15 American states. Now, let me tell you. Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, North Dakota, Texas, South Dakota, New Mexico, Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Colorado, and Montana. Now, how about that for a few pennies an acre? The House of America, or the House of Israel, was a company of union of unequal members, none of whom were independent. This is similar to the 50 United States, and it does not fit Great Britain nor the British Commonwealth. The British Commonwealth has only been a loose confederation of states with a queen as a nominal head of state. Britain has always been one great nation, whereas the British Commonwealth is a collection of scattered, independent, satellite nations around the world under the authority of the single great nation of Great Britain. And they have, since, forfeited the rights to all these nations. They no longer control, they influence, but they do not control. The United States is an assembly of 50. United, and I think now 51, United States for the most part, united geographically as was the House of Ancient Israel. The United States began with 13 colonies, and then when we reached the West Coast, we had filled up our land with 48 states. 48 states. And ladies and gentlemen, it just happened to be that the Blessing Pact Covenant to the house of Joseph was in Genesis chapter 48. Isn't that something? And that Manasseh, the 48th state union of the house of Manasseh, would become the great one. And I believe that this is purposely put in there for, to direct us with hindsight to look back that the wisdom of our father knew all this. You know he knew all it. He knew that the wilderness land when he was talking to Abraham. Abraham was trying to look, had he been trying to look at that little parched desert land where he was at, of course there was a little tropical paradise in there because when the Israelites went in, they did find a vast land, but it could no more hold the 13 tribes today than a bucket could hold the Mississippi River and its contents. It just don't work. The Father had to have a divine destiny plan for this great nation that has become the greatest single nation of company of states. And it's the only one like this. It's the only nation in the world like it. There's none other to compare to it. There just isn't any statistics that'll measure up to be out blessed. And materials, natural resources, with annual rainfall. On an average, we are the greatest, most blessed agricultural, military, materialistic nation in the world. And we fulfill all the promises, good and bad. You know, along with the good, you got to have some bad. And we got our problems here. And we talked about that, in past broadcast, but tonight we're going to talk about the blessing that the Father's covenant divine destiny plan foresaw a nation carved out of the wilderness that would become a company of nations. Not a single great nation as Great Britain, but a company of nations that would have its 10,000s compared to Great Britain, which is Manasseh. Manasseh was to have its thousands, and Ephraim was to have its 10,000s. And I didn't give you the population ratio between the two nations, and there's no comparison. The United States far outnumbers Great Britain. And the word Brit is covenant, and Ish is with the sons of Ish. So I believe that the original England, when the wayward Israelites were driven out of Assyria and crossed the Caucasus Mountains, and when they finally ended up in the British Isles, it was the house of Joseph, the two sons that traveled together, union together, because they were close affiliated with their father Joseph. And they ended up in the same nation. And this nation was, it was impossible for Great Britain to hold both the brothers. And of course, with the older brother, more powerful at that time, and more dictatorial, they began to persecute their brothers and drive them further west, to the point that they were basically exiled to the wilderness as punishment. They didn't know what they were doing. They were driving the people of the covenant, the sons of Ephraim, the birthright son, to inherit, the younger brother, to inherit a nation that had not been carved out, but it became a company of nations and no equal in Europe. I'm telling you. Like I said, the United States is an assembly of 50 states, and the most part united together geographically as a house of ancient Israel. Now, when we parallel the 48 cities for the Levites in ancient Israel, remember there were 48 cities of refuge. Does that have anything to do with the 48 original states that expanded into a land of refuge to receive all of those that were oppressed and falsely accused? Folks, I'm telling you, our Father could see further into the future with his eyes than we can look back. I mean, we have the facts before us, hindsight, which is 20/20 vision, and yet most people are still blind to these factual facts that are presenting themselves by the wisdom of our Father. Then, if we add two more to reach a fullness of 50, or five times the number of the house of Israel of old, and the Jubilee number, the United States is a company, and its fullness of 50 assembly of the states that Ephraim was to become. Now, on the other hand, if Ephraim were the nations of Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, then when the prophets of Hosea speak of Ephraim calling to Egypt or going to Assyria, which of those nations would be meant? Hosea 7:11. If Ephraim were composed of widely scattered nations, the prophets of Hosea would have been inexplainable. It would be impossible to determine to which part of Ephraim they applied, or how they could possibly apply to every nation of Ephraim. Obviously, the prophecies directed toward Ephraim in the Bible are directed to one united country, one sovereign nation, one united together, as Ephraim was historically and as United States is today. The very words of the U.S. Constitution reveal our national identity. The Constitution begins, "We are the people of the United States." Are we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union? The USA, a union of nation states. Ephraim was to become a united company or assembly of peoples. And that's just exactly what it becomes. It's interesting that the United States is famous around the world for being the melting pot of the nations. The United States has more immigrants from more diverse locations than any other nation on earth. This is both a strength that is exemplified in the book of Hosea, and a fatal weakness emphasized by the prophet Hosea when he foretold the condition would describe Ephraim in the last days. Hosea wrote that Ephraim will mix with the nations. Ephraim is a flat cake not turned over. White on one side and baked black or brown on the other side. Foreigners, which is this end time prophecy that I talked about last night, zap his strength. But he does not realize it. His hair is sprinkled with gray, but it does not notice. And that is in Hosea chapter 7, 8, and 9. And I gave you the aging population of our peoples with no more hope in the future of expanding our strength in our race. We are fast miscegenating and being incorporated into what Hosea foretold of Ephraim mixing in the seventh chapter of the book of Hosea. The United States began with, like I said, 13 colonies and a flag of 13 stripes and 13 stars. Ephraim was the 13th tribe of ancient Israel. Is it a mere coincidence? Ephraim's name means double fruit. The United States is the double blessed nation able to produce even now twice what any other nation could produce and still have reserves and in the reserve. We are a nation of greatness. Like I said, now Jacob prophesied that the younger brother Ephraim was to become the greater. Greater than his older brother Manasseh. Manasseh, the firstborn, was the older brother. Which nation is older, the United States or Great Britain? It's a simple deduction. That Manasseh would become the first established nation, but then a greater than Manasseh would assume his role in another land, and as far west as you can go, ladies and gentlemen, where the prophecy of Ephraim, if you will look in the Bible, in Numbers chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 7, you will see that Ephraim resides in the sacred circle of identity of nations in the west. And I'm telling you, it is divine appointed destiny. Divine appointed destiny for a nation to assume the role that the United States has assumed in its greatness just to become mixed and weaken with the enemy that is crept in unaware and sowed the tares, which is a biblical proposal that the Messiah himself spoke about while Israel is under the blindness act. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Blind and oblivious to the real reason that our nation is going in the direction it's going is because we have gone to sleep. We're indifferent. We just don't like to stir up trouble. We'd rather take the quips of slavery, pay usury, and grow our garlic and onions and be content and have our backyard barbecues and a three-car garage than to stand up for our constitutional rights. But that's changing. There is more and more patriotic awakening throughout the United States of America. You don't see the season boiling underneath smoldering fire that is fixing to flame up all over this nation. A few more years of the way that this nation has gone, eroding rights, decaying covenant constitutional principles. the language here for just a moment. But the Bible says that all nations that forget God will be turned into hell or a hell of a mess. And that's exactly what it means. Confusion. And do you know that in Iraq, do you know that our U.S. recruiters, which is an all-volunteer army, army and Navy and Air Force and Marine and National Guard and all these things, it's voluntarily. We don't have a draft to conscript and pull our young men into the war anymore like we did in World War II, other times when we instituted the draft. I know the draft was still going on in 1956, but it ended shortly thereafter. And when they took away the draft, then it became an all-volunteer army, and it worked quite well as long as it was peaceful times. Vietnam is an exception. We got sucked into Vietnam. We thought it was just going to be a little far fight, and we'd go over there and put the fire out and pee on the fire and run back and be heroes. That ain't the way it happened. It turned out that those people that were fighting for their own nation, the very few of the Vietnamese, the North, fighting the great armies. They had fought 100 years prior to that, England and France and other invading nations, China. I'm telling you, these people they've been in war for over 100 years in Vietnam. Well, now we've got ourselves into a quagmire in Iraq. These people is the children of Ishmael, which the Bible said the sword will be in their house forever. We've got over there in the hornet's nest, and we stirred up the wrath of Islam. And now we're having trouble conscripting soldiers to go there and fight. Now, I've seen a 72-year-old grandmother volunteer in the United States instead of saying, no way. They took her. The National Guard is now from each state. They're being rotated into Iraq, and their tours have been extended because they have no replacement. And the president ran under the principle he would not institute the draft when he came back in. And the dumb sheep fell for it. It's going to happen. We're going to have to, because the war is going to broaden. We're going to have to get in further or get out completely. And to get out, we've got to tuck our tail and run like we did in Vietnam. And I just don't believe that that's going to happen this time. We was embarrassed about Vietnam. We tried to save face and say, well, you know, we just got tired of fighting, and, you know, and the Vietnamese were not willing to expend the energies in their lives to defend their land. But the truth was that the North and the South were brothers and sisters, and they were defending their land, and the Southern sympathizers joined with the North. A lot of people don't know this. But the way we were driven out of southern area of Vietnam is because most of the people in South Vietnam detested the invasion of the United States being in there, because we just literally tore their country all to hell. And now they're a thriving nation, a peaceful nation. Nobody's invaded them since. And so they weren't all that bad. They might not have been all that good, but who is? So we've got ourselves in a mess here. The United States is going to have a cleansing internal and external. We're going to have to remove our feet from foreign soil and then concentrate, and that's not going to happen. What the New World Order is planning is to purposely expend all of our national resources and energies in war, and to be engaged abroad, and to be the bully on the block in more nations than one. You see, we're in other nations rather than Iraq. We're in a lot of nations, like in Korea. We maintain a rotation of many, many troops in these rotations now. It used to be that you could go to Korea and spend 2 years of duty on the DMZ or to guard the South Korea. There we are again. And then you would rotate and come back home. That's not the case now. You go to Korea for a year, and then they'll ship you to Iraq. And so now we've got a rotation schedule of our troops abroad having to go through Iraq to pull their combat duty to get home. And the National Guard and these reserve units that we have at home to defend the states and the individual states and the company of nations that we have, they are now being sucked into the war and being called up. It's unprecedented, except in a world war. And we're in a little skirmish and can't even control Baghdad. I mean, we blazed in there and blitzed in there and King Konged in there and throwed our muscles around, drove our armor right through the defenses of the Iraqis, and they gave up in droves and went home, pulled off their uniforms, and put on their civvies, as we call it in the military jargon, and then they took up their AK-47s and went down the street to hunt for the Yankees. And so the war became a tactical war of guerrilla warfare. The enemy that we saw in the trenches disappeared, and then they went into the streets and the pubs and the bars and the thistles and the thickets and the roadsides and began to do their guerrilla thing like they did in Vietnam. You see, our enemies weren't how we are. We can overpower a great army. There's no army equal to us with our technology. We can put a bomb down a stovepipe from 2 miles up. I mean, we got unparalleled advancement in technology that cannot be equaled anywhere near. And so nobody, we're a force to be reckoned with in that sense. But when it comes to guerrilla unseen enemy, we are the world's worst at fighting because our generals are not trained. We thought we learned a lot about guerrilla warfare in Vietnam, but this is another dogfight in Iraq. And it could expand into Iraq or into Iran and into neighboring states, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Libya. And some of these prophetic nations are mentioned right in the Bible that we could potentially have some problems. Now that we're spread abroad and spread thin, there's nobody home to defend the homeland. That's that homeland security. They're begging people to turn their brothers and sisters in. That didn't work in Russia, and it won't work in the United States. It will deepen the suspicion of our native people. Now, it might work with the strangers and the immigrants and the aliens that have come in to protect their own right, because, you see, there's somebody has to guarantee them a right. And when we get tired of putting up with all this confusion and this mixture and this miscegenation and the flood of aliens and strangers coming into our land and running our businesses and taking over our lands and buying our homes and occupying them, I'm telling you, it's getting bad. But what are we going to do about it? Well, there's going to have to be, as I said, an internal reckoning within everyone's self. We're going to have to rethink what our government is outsourcing our resources and supplies and our, most of all, our young men, which is 90% Aryan that goes to fight these wars. 90%. Something bad, wrong with our system. It's got to change. It will change. There is no doubt about it. And we'll face this question honestly and squarely, that we are the wealthiest nation in terms of resources, business, and assets, and gross national product. But we've become the biggest debtor nation by far due to our style of government. And what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? If we go back and look at the conspiratorial evidence that has been in this nation since the 1800s, Abraham Lincoln was killed because he had a plan in mind. The plan was to send all of the slaves back to Africa. Well, that didn't fit well with the plan of somebody that had another ideal about what they wanted this nation to do. If you've ever read the Learned Elders of Zion, the little booklet that most of our enemy describes as a forgery, when it actually is a book of prophetic truth. It was written over 100 years ago. And everything that it stated in the book 100 years ago is coming to pass today. And I'm telling you, if that's a forgery, it is some of the most prophetic forgery that I've ever read. It's working. Everything that they said would happen is happening by a specific group of people that's making it happen. In our government today, it's controlled by these very people. They're called Canaanites. We have them abounding in our government. And actually, they run this nation. And I kid you not. You think your vote counted when you voted. But it wasn't who voted, it's who counted the votes. Now we've got to trust the people that won't even give us a fair hearing or a committee of trustworthy people to examine the facts such as Waco, Oklahoma City, or 911, the Twin Towers, and all these things that have millions of questions needs to be answered, and we get no answers whatsoever. We don't even get to look at the evidence. It's cordoned off. Put off limits to even private investigators or those who would love to get to the bottom of the truth. And did you know that they're still trying to convene a grand jury in the state of New York to further investigate the real truth of 911? Did you know that when John F. Kennedy was killed, that he'd already written over $4 billion worth of new money called the United States money without federal notes, and that the international bankers was very alarmed and upset, and that the truth is he was killed because he was going to do away with the Federal Reserve. He was going to supersede it with a new money system that would have no international usury system of federal notes, and now the federal note itself. Remember, the Bible says that Babylon is going to fall. This is Babylon. We have turned this nation of blessing covenant. Remember, he said, I'll make you the head if you will obey me, but I'll make you the tail, Babylon, if you disobey me. And so in the same mirrored instance where we have all the potential blessings, we turned her back as did our forefathers. Let the enemy come in, the wolves invaded the sheep, and one by one they began to destroy the sheep, and the more they destroyed, they practiced and they prospered by casting the truth of the Constitution to the ground, and they've done a marvelous job of prospering. First thing they did, they printed paper money and confiscated all the gold and the silver and the precious metals that have value. That disappeared from our land. Where'd it go? It's not in a bank in California, as Bill Fong says. It's not there, except it's a Federal Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Banks are the only one equipped with the massive wealth that has been raped from this land by usury. We have now become a debtor nation under the Federal Reserve System when we were a lender nation under the just weights and balances of true standard of wealth. But when we willingly gave up all of our gold and precious metals for a piece of paper, the paper is now not worth the ink that was written on it. And I told you that the ratio between the euro, which you could take $1, last night I told you that you could take $1 at 10 years ago and buy 5 euros. Now it takes $1.49 to purchase 1 euro. And so then it's 49 cents up and growing, and the dollar is 49 cents down and further declining, and the rate of gold has increased 35% in the last 6 months. So if you had $1,000 worth of gold, now you would have $3,500 worth of gold at the rate of its increase. And that goes to show you that just weights and balances is making a comeback as the paper money, not worth the ink it's written on, or the paper it's written on, worth the ink. The ink is probably more expensive than what the paper's worth. But either way it goes, it's not worth its worth because it has no worth to guarantee it. The euro has at least a 20 to 30%, don't remember exact figures, but it does have a gold guarantee back. In other words, you could turn in your euros for gold. Whereas in the United States, the United States is supposed to pay on the demand, but the United States don't even print its own money. It hires the Federal Reserve. You say, well, the Federal Reserve, Pastor Buddy, is the government. Well, that's what 90% of the people in the United States believe, that the Federal Reserve is a controlled wing of the We the People. When in actuality, it is a corporation board set up and operated and run by international bankers who have nothing in mind but fleecing the flock. And fleece them, they have. Well, you know what the concealment and revealment laws are in the Bible. There's nothing hid that will not be shouted from the rooftop. I do believe that there is coming evidence to reopen the conspiracies that have gone on in the past. I do believe that all those things that have been hidden, particularly from the time of Abraham Lincoln and the common exchange of similarities, the paradoxes of the death of Lincoln and the death of Kennedy. It is unreal of the paradox that are instituted there. And these are signals for us, these are peculiarities for us to look a little bit deeper, and the time will come that all of these will come to light. Somebody's going to talk in high places, and it's going to bring down the roof on the Philistine system of America. And you better get you some preparation going. You know, at least 2 years of food wouldn't be a bad idea until we get through the bad times. You're going to need good water. In other words, the filters. You know, we went through this in 9-1-1, or 1999, and the fear that the system was going to fail then. We're closer to failure now than we were in 99, and yet people have destroyed what they gathered in 99, or it's become obsolete and perishable, all the perishables, and they have now spoiled. But you have to continuously learn how to survive on the earth and let the earth become your resource, not Walmart. I mean, Walmart could be emptied out and stopped stocking with one swipe of the president's pen, and martial law, everything would cease exactly where it's at, and 2 to 3 days, and probably less than that, in Panicville, America. I mean, now, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, you couldn't give a vaccination away. And now we've got these stupid sheep begging, demanding, signing up, waiting, pleading, crying, waiting in lines that are 5 miles long. It's amazing how that we have been psychologically induced to demand we get the poison and the filth that they're shooting in our veins. I'm telling you, it is pathetically sick how this nation has become a bunch of security cats. And you talk about the sins of the nation coming down upon its head, people fearing. Their hearts fell in them. I mean, we're just so conditioned and mind-controlled. I mean, you know, like I said, when they brought out the vaccinations several years ago, you couldn't give them away. And if you look today and see what the ingredients are, you still wouldn't want them. You say, well, it's just a virus that they've, it will keep us from getting the flu. And the flu's bad. Folks, the flu is nothing more than strands of viruses that has been unleashed in the air purposely by the petrochemical organizations to sell their products. Now when they induce it into your body and tell you that you become immune to future infections, that is one of the most asinine, stupid, against all logic lies that I've ever heard. Once you weaken your natural immune by ingesting things that are not good for you, it, instead of enhancing the immune system, it breaks it down, just like when we took penicillin, which was a pretty good thing for infection. Now there are bacterial strands that are evolved out so powerful, whether they're man-made or nature's resources or the curse of Almighty Yah, and I suspect the latter probably more than I do the other two. Resistant to all kinds, even antibiotics. There's not enough of powerful antibiotics because the body, once it attunes itself to a certain degree of acceptance of antibiotics, then it reaches a point in the levels out into the body where nothing else will work, and it cannot extend itself beyond its natural capacity, which has been violated with the very medicines or the injections that we have taken to combat the infections or the illnesses or the disease. So the best protection against disease is righteous living. Get away from unclean meat. Drink good, clean water. And I'm not talking about the chlorinated water that they put in the water fountains and house you up in these buildings where you can't get out and get you a good drink of mineral water or distilled water. Now everybody's going to bottled water, and all it is glorified chlorinated water. That's all it is. It's another trick. And we pay for the water, which is one of the prophecies of the Book of Lamentations by the prophet Jeremiah in the 5th chapter. I'm telling you, we're headed for a big change here. So where is Israel? Where is Israel? The United States is most definitely the people of Hosea's book. Read and study the book of Hosea. You'll find out who we are. You'll find out what our divine destiny and purpose is. Folks, if you're worried about the nation as a whole surviving, no, don't worry. We will survive. But not by our own power. Because the stupid moves we're making, we're headed for disaster. And there's going to have to be an intervention of saving. Somebody's going to have to save us from our stupid self. What are sheep? They're dumb. But what about the shepherd? He's not dumb. People forget the shepherds. The shepherds are going to gather the sheep in the last days, and the scales are going to fall from the blinded eyes of the sheep. It's one thing for just a sheep and its natural instincts to be at work. But you take a blind sheep, I mean, he's that's a double whammy. He's got two things going against it. Stupidity. And as the motto of the saying 8 years ago, it's the economy, stupid. The motto now, it is the blindness of Israel, stupid, that needs to be lifted from our eyes. And we need to return to the old path. We need to come back to the old path. And when we do, we're going to find a waiting, willing father with a robe and a ring and the sandals and a party. Ooh, I can't wait for that day. Well, here I am again. I'm at the end of the road here, and I've got to get off here. This is Pastor Buddy, Wednesday night, 24th. Tomorrow night will be Thanksgiving. As I said, I hope and trust that you have a glorious, wonderful Thanksgiving, and that your prayers and blessings will be for the house of Israel and our peoples around the world that know our Father in covenant, that are not born again, but born from above, predestinated from the foundation world with the names on the Lamb's book and appointed destiny to overcome and be kings and priests and royal rulers. May the Heavenly Father bless you. If you'd like to write me tonight, Post Office Box 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm available. I'm live on the 24th here of November. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me, that will be buddy1@centurytale.net. All lowercase letters. Buddy1, B-U-D-D-Y, numeral 1, at centurytale.net. Buddy1@centurytale.net. That's all information that you need. After you're listening to me tonight, give me a email, give me a call, or write me a letter. Let me know you're there and you're studying with Pastor Buddy. We will continue tomorrow night on this very subject of who is Israel. And may the blessings of the Heavenly Father be upon your head, as I said. May he bless you going in and bless you coming out. May he make you the head once more and not the tail. I'm on the crystal line to learn. 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 I'm on the cryst